Why do I associate Charlie the Tuna with orphans? Was he an orphan?
Well, he was probably an orphan.
His parents had probably been murdered by Big Tuna.
Yeah, and that's why he wanted to be eaten, too, so that he could,
oh, I see.
So that he could visit them in heaven.
In Tuna Heaven.
Tuna Heaven, yeah.
Okay. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's time for Video Games Hot Dog, episode number 67. Hey, this is the last show for a little while where we're across an entire country from you. Hot stuff. I mean, Kevin, damn it. And sometimes I forget which show we're doing. I heard you had butterflies in your stomach because you're so excited about going to Dragon Asterisk Con with
us. That's right.
Yeah, pretty much butterflies the only thing that that will stay in there. Everything else keeps coming out real quick. So,
have you been able to get some butterfly schnapps at least?
I haven't. I should totally do that.
I think that's what Goldschläger is. Those little flecks of gold are actually butterfly wings.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that makes more sense.
Maybe they're actually fairy wings.
Mm. Fairy schnapps?
Yeah.
What would that taste like? Mushrooms?
Yeah, mushrooms and like caramel
twinkles.
I don't know that they would taste like mushrooms just because fairies, like, hang out and or live in mushrooms, right? Like, horses don't taste
but that's also
barn.
All they eat.
But, like, the stuff... animals that you eat don't taste like what they eat. Otherwise, everything would just taste like...
Sometimes they do.
Plankton.
I mean, I know that when I have a taco from Taco Bell made from exclusively Doritos-fed beef, the taco tastes a lot like Doritos.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's funnier than what I was going to say about peppermint eating pigs.
Okay. What were you going to say about peppermint eating pigs?
That was it. It wasn't
just
that funny.
Just the idea. Oh, okay. Is that a...
Didn't really have a joke.
Is it
just,
at all it funny?
A conceptual thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Tired.
So I mean, sometimes when I eat maggots, they taste like rotting meat.
Oh,
yeah. But okay. I mean, that might also be because there's some rotting meat still in there.
Yeah, I mean, or maybe just your maggots have gone bad.
What is it? Weren't we having this conversation the other day about how they make cheese and how you get rennet out of? And you were wondering how anybody discovered that. And I thought that I proposed that it was maybe them eating the contents of a calf's stomach that they had slaughtered, and so there was milk, like partially digested milk, that they thought, wow, this is fucking great.
Or more likely,
if we don't eat something, we're going to die.
Them trying to store milk in the stomach?
Oh, yeah. In the stomach of a live calf?
Not of a live calf.
I could see them doing that, using an animal stomach as like a canteen or something.
For milk?
Sure.
Ugh. Man, that is the gr- like. Nothing I like more after a long trek through the mountains to, like, oh, boy, it's hot and I'm sweaty, and gosh, you know what I want is just a big stomach full of hot milk.
I mean, well, you know, pretty much everything sucked back in those days.
Yeah, I thought you wanted either a Clamato or, like, Yoo-hoo or something.
No, I think what, chocolate milk, Mountain Dew, and chili cheese Fritos was that story. Yeah. Roy... wanted Clamato and smoked oysters.
Okay.
But these were not we were thirsty. These were we are tired of not being in civilization. And so we are craving the trappings of civilization.
I don't think you are.
Smoked oysters? Yeah.
To me, nothing says civilization like chocolate milk, Mountain Dew, and chili cheese Fritos.
See, I would go Mountain Dew. I would go more like Mountain Dew and Slim Jims. And a Hostess cherry pie.
I feel like Slim Jims you wouldn't be craving after a backpacking trip, though, because you would have had some sort of jerky on that.
That's possibly true. Possibly true.
Yeah. I know what I'm always craving after a backpacking trip is a hamburger and a salad. Just any crunchy greens at this point. But that might also be because I'm older and I am boring in terms of food. I no longer live exclusively on Ritz crackers and Easy Cheese.
French fries.
Yeah.
Pizza rolls.
I don't think that I've ever had pizza rolls.
They're okay.
Wow, really?
Are they?
Or at least I remember them as being okay.
Like
I remember occasionally getting those little bagel bites where when pizza, because it was on a bagel, you could have pizza anytime.
Mm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I've
bagel pizzas all the time.
But you'd make real bagel pizzas out of real bagels.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's too much work.
Oh, it's a lot of work, but they're so delicious. But they are they're like a lot of calories, and it always makes more sense to make two bagels worth of bagel pizzas at a time than just make one, because it's so much work, and it's like not even close to double the amount of work to make two, and then I just eat way too much food.
I've developed a terrible fondness recently for frozen microwave White Castle burgers.
Huh, that is a pretty terrible fondness.
Oh yeah, wow.
They're pretty delicious.
Oh man, are we? I don't remember if they have White Castle in Atlanta or not.
Hmm.
Do they have White Castle in Atlanta?
I don't know.
I know they have it in Ohio.
They have it.
Yeah. So we're off to Dragon Asterisk Con tomorrow.
Just Dragon Asshole Con?
Yeah. I think it's Dragon / Tarrasque Con because we're gonna go fight the. I always thought the Tarrasque was a more interesting enemy than a dragon, because the Tarrasque has that jewel inside it. Dragons just have guts.
Is it just the one jewel? I thought it's like stomach was lined with jewels, the way that like a bird might have a bunch of rocks in its gullet or something.
Oh, like it's a Tarrasque craw.
Yeah.
And it's just been eating a lot of jewels.
Well, because doesn't it eat rocks and it uses them to like break them down or something?
I don't know. It eats like a flint and steel and then uses that to breathe sparks.
Hmm. Yeah, fire. Like in Flight of Dragons.
Sparks, like the alcoholic energy drink.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's different.
It's a modern day Tarrasque. It's really easy for it to find work at the Sparks bottling plant.
Do you think Tarrasques are particularly susceptible to having Tourette's?
I doubt it. Yes, and. Yes, and they cuss a lot. So I'm pretty excited about DragonCon. I have a feeling that most of our listeners who can afford to leave their house are probably going to PAX instead of DragonCon. But anybody who's out there on your way to DragonCon, come find us. Yep. There's a Kingdom of Loathing panel on Friday. I will try to edit this and get it out before then. Mm-hmm. Now suddenly I'm under a bunch of pressure.
Yeah, that's.
Do we have any way to record that panel?
Somebody
put it out as like a. Live
our
show.
Our good buddy Data Vortex recorded the last one, cool. And I think you can watch it on a Vimeo or something.
I was just thinking audio version.
GooTube. That's when Google bought YouTube. They called it GooTube, right?
Ew.
Yeah. Watch it. You know.
Did they also buy Go-Gurt?
We'll blast it from our GooTube onto your face. Yeah. Go-Gurt is sort of a GooTube. It's a tube. It's
exactly.
a tube of goo.
Tuba goo. That's what you use to fix your broken sousaphone.
Yeah. Sousaphone and a tuba are actually slightly different instruments.
Slightly.
just
but
slightly.
Similar.
Yeah, I guess not to the point where most people know the difference between them.
Exactly.
I grew up talking about that tuba that was upstairs and constantly being corrected, it's a sousaphone. I was like, okay, I'm sorry, I meant that tuba asshole.
And we come back around to Dragon Asshole Con.
Ah, Dragon Asshole Con. Speaking of Dragon Asshole, Kevin, you're sick. You need to get over it.
Yeah,
I do. I'm tired.
You're not
of
even
a,
drinking
dragging my asshole all over the place.
Your guts are blasting out both ends.
Ooh.
No, just
Screaming
just,
Eagle. I don't know if any of those things
the
are
one.
True.
Screaming Eagle.
Just the one end?
Yeah.
Okay. So are we talking database or web server?
it's definitely back end.
Okay.
Wow. Jokes for nerds.
So yeah, you guys been up to anything?
Oh,
too long. Apparently not. What about you, Kevin?
Pass.
Have you just been hurtling around
movies.
The city on streams of your own diarrhea?
Curdling. Yes.
Oh,
is that like curdling?
Is that what they call that?
Sure. It's similar.
Churling. This would be magical if it weren't for the boom booms. Did you ever play that game? It was a flash game where it was like a one button flight. You were a man being propelled on a stream of diarrhea, and you were avoiding geese. by moving up and down. I don't remember what it's called.
I did watch a full Let's Play of Don't Shit Your Pants the other day.
Why didn't you just play Don't Shit Your Pants?
Because my iPad doesn't have Flash, and I was looking at my iPad in bed and going, what Let's Play can I look at right now? Oh, Don't Shit Your Pants.
But that wasn't a very long Let's Play.
No, it was a short one.
Did it get every ending?
Yeah.
Don't Shit Your Pants is a pretty good game.
It is a pretty good game. Surprisingly
good. Anyway, I'm sorry. Kevin, you were telling us what you were actually up to.
So I went to a 1920s themed party.
Ooh.
And so
we
had
there flappers?
Yeah, it was like flappers and, you know, Great Depression, however you wanted to interpret it.
Did you dance the Charleston?
No, we talked about it. We did not.
Eat a Clark bar? Well, you talked about that. So this was the kind of party where you sit around talking about dancing.
No. Beforehand, my girlfriend and I talked about dancing, but when we got there, there was
also,
no dancing
I think
to be had.
Instead of Clark Bar, I meant Charleston Chew.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That makes a lot more sense.
That makes more sense now. Yeah.
did Mick Jagger bang Marianne Faithfull with a Clark Bar? It was actually a Mars bar. Did Bill Murray fish a Clark bar out of a swimming pool and take a bite of it, thus causing a woman to become overcome with the vapors and faint? None of those things happened. Tell us about your stupid party, Kevin.
I had to go and buy an outfit, so we went to Salvation Army. There's a huge Salvation Army store here that has many floors of goods.
They had stuff from the 20s?
No, but I mean, I just needed to fake it. I went for like a Newsies kind of look. So I just had one of those like old hats, I don't know what they're even called, page boy hats or something. I don't know. And like a vest and slacks and stuff like that. It was just, I don't have any clothes out here besides t-shirts and like jeans and shorts and stuff. So like... I had just acquire everything wholesale. That was like the primary thing of interest that I did this weekend.
My understanding of the 20s is that it was a very enlightened time in terms of sort of sexual freedom, but all the girls had short haircuts, so it's like, what's the point? What's the point of a bunch of sluts if they all have short hair? Is what I'm saying. Huh. Give me 60s sluts. That's what I'm saying.
Hippies are filthy, though.
Yeah, but the girls in the 60s were not all gross, smelly hippies. I think a lot of them were just like, no, these girls, like, you know, they have parents that love them and stuff, and they don't they bathe and they just iron their hair to make it straighter.
Oh. I wasn't aware that was a thing that you would do.
Yeah, I had a teacher in high school who was a teen in the 60s and talked about ironing.
Huh.
How her and her girlfriends would all iron each other's hair and then smoke weed and have lesbian makeout sessions.
Huh.
She didn't tell us about that. I think I was mostly
just assuming.
I was imagining that.
Yeah,
part.
Okay.
I'm imagining a much younger version of you. That's what I said to her, and she said, "Thanks. Now get out of my classroom. You're 25." Anyway, anything else?
What were we talking? Oh, right, 20s.
Yep, the 20s.
Did you chop up a barrel of beer with an axe?
No.
What? Okay.
I feel like
why couldn't you just serve it in glasses?
People That's, come up with these like party weird... themes, and then like people don't commit to them when they attend. Like the person who came up with this theme was like, you know, 20s theme. If you bring any booze, take off the labels because it should be like bootleg, blah blah blah. And so, like I did, I bought a bottle of that Ransom Old Tom Gin, and I took the label off and brought it.
So what you brought was an unlabeled bottle of brown gin.
Yep.
To a party.
Yep.
Thus, just pissing off every person who had any. that's a pretty good plan.
Yep. But like other people showed up just in like regular clothes and they just brought regular beer and stuff. And I was like, fuck you guys and your lack of, energy.
Yeah, you could at least be drinking this beer out of a shoe or something and well, see how many of your douchey frat buddies can fit on a flagpole.
Some people who brought beer also had like brown paper bags, and I thought I appreciated that. Like, that was at least a thing.
Okay.
But, yeah.
My favorite one of those that I've heard of was the one from Scott Pilgrim, the come dressed as your favorite pre-1980s Canadian prime minister, except secretly you're Batman.
Okay. So when people do, maybe they thought it was a dress like you're in your 20s. So wear like a ironic Goonies shirt and I don't know, a mustache.
I don't know. Is it still ironic if you genuinely love the Goonies?
Well, if you were in your 20s now, you probably wouldn't genuinely love the Goonies. You'd be like, this is some shit from before I was born. I'm just pretending it's cool.
Then I would have to, like, slap myself in the face.
Yeah? Well, that's what the back room of the party's for.
Oh, okay.
Being insufferable. This is the being insufferable room. This is a being a know-it-all room. This is a... disliking your parents, but still mooching off of them room. What else do you do in the 20s?
The drop out of college and get a shitty job.
Okay.
Room.
Okay. The experiment with drugs room.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess there's one of those at every party.
Yeah.
It just gets to be different drugs as you get older.
Yeah.
And now it's the experiment with Dulcolax room and Metamucil. Wait, what you do is everybody brings their Metamucil, and they dump them all out into one big bowl, and then mix it around, and then everybody has as much fiber as they can stand. You know, you gotta optimize your database. You guys been playing any video games?
Instead of the jelly bracelets, it's Med Alert tags.
No, okay. Yeah, you have different ones that say what sorts of cancer you have.
Yeah.
So where are there likely to be some extra holes to have sex with me in later?
Oh.
I know. Oh. That took a turn.
Yep. Anyway, games. Video games.
I blame you, how many video Zach, because I spent a large portion of the time in bed while I was feeling ill playing Puzzlecraft.
Yeah,
I played a lot of that, too.
I played a lot of that, too, and I finally... yesterday got the fucking castle and was like, fuck this game, I'm never touching this game again.
I was initially pretty worried about what you had said about the microtransactions,
the timer element. Yeah, it didn't end up being that big of a deal.
Yeah, it turned out to be like the taxes are totally irrelevant, and I have never needed to buy gold or anything like that.
Yeah, so. I mean, I never ran out of it, but just having it there bothered me.
Yeah.
What's your take on it? You had some weird, I feel like, optimization
riff
hassles.
Felt this the same way. Like, so I started playing and I was really enjoying it. I was having a great time. And then I upgraded a couple things all at the same time. I got the mine shaft, the like pantry thing, and the town hall or the village hall, like all in rapid succession. And so I introduced the explosive gas, the rats, and the wolves into this game. I don't know if we've talked about how the game works. It's like it's a match three.
Oh, we did. We talked about it last year. Before it came out.
So it's like a match three game where as you get a bunch of something, it'll turn into a different resource, and then you can collect those resources if you can match
like
three of those.
Like Triple Town, kind of.
You start to end up with these like negative, these little like obstacles that will come in and start effing up your ass.
Yeah. And so I
never found them to be a problem.
Well, I just
but
was,
they really drove you guys nuts.
Yeah. So like the rats in particular,
I was set back by
crazy.
About 2 hours when I discovered that the mineshaft caused more of a problem in the mine than I felt it was worth, because pretty much all I wanted at that point was stone and iron, and I didn't need coal and gas and silver screwing up my chains. So I went back and started over and have never bought the mine shaft. And instead, when I run into a building that you have to have coal or silver for, I just do four extra runs through the farm and sell everything I get, and that's generally enough to just outright buy that building.
I mean, the later buildings never took me four runs to do. I got to where I thought the farming game was pretty... Yeah, I don't know. I found myself enjoying it less and less the more complexity that got added to it. Because it was just like, ah, oh man, it was satisfying to get these unbroken chains of things. But once you've got like two separate sort of upgrade paths, like on the farm, you match some grain and it makes a carrot. You match some carrots, it makes an apple. You match some apples and I guess it makes a gold coin.
And it's difficult enough to get apples up there to match, but to also have to be dealing with chicken, pig, cow, and having rats and wolves in there is just it becomes more of a pain in the ass than it's worth.
Like I approached it very carefully. My end game state, like I also got the castle. My end game state is such that I never got the full upgrade for wheat. So like I can gather three wheat and it won't turn into a carrot. And I also never got the building that puts carrots on the farm independently. So I play the game in a way where the very first thing I do is I spend like 50 fertilizer just gathering wheat artificially into carrots and apples and getting a bunch of that stuff. And then I spend the whole second half of the farming game collecting only animals in a meaningful way. And that's actually pretty fun. Because that's you're definitely having to do an optimization problem there and like figuring out the padding and stuff like that. And the later upgrades where it lets you collect the rats and the wolves with the grass and the trees makes them much less of a hassle. Although they definitely do push the game forward in a way that's interesting.
It's weird that you guys were willing to start over once you realized that something detrimental had been introduced by a choice that you made, because I just kind of accepted that as part of the progress of moving through.
Well, part of it was that it was still early. Like, when I realized later on that I had done the same thing again by buying the pantry and introducing rats, at that point it was too far into the game.
Does it tell you that it puts rats in there?
No.
The description of the pantry does mention rats, but it doesn't really indicate that this is a real thing that's going to happen.
Yeah, and the village hall doesn't... I don't know if it even mentions the wolves that it introduces.
Do you guys feel like you are playing the game that they made?
I think... I mean, I don't think that they would have expected someone to refuse to buy the mineshaft.
I think you're going to have a hard time actually completing it without the mineshaft.
I figure, eventually once I get the building that lets me get rid of the gas easily without having to buy lanterns and shit, I may eventually give in.
I mean, you probably, it depends. I think that just depends on what level you are, right? Like, because it's going to be one of the ones down the tree from the mineshaft.
No, I've seen it in the list.
I was never really clear what caused anything to unlock. Like, I thought a lot of it was just based on level.
It seems like some of it is and some of it isn't.
Nothing is based purely on level.
It doesn't really present you with a tech tree. It's just it shows you what ends of various things are available to you.
Yeah, the villagers that affect stuff that happens in the mine have not yet shown up for
me. I sort of screwed up. I maxed out the villagers and ended up with all but one job maxed out because you get the last five from the castle.
And
I was son of a bitch.
You can keep playing after you have the castle, though. I mean, it sounds like they want to do an update.
Why the fuck would you?
I don't know. Because you like the game.
I didn't end up building all the buildings. I mean, I liked the game. I was having a grand old time with it until it got to the point where it was like, fuck. Now I can't quit without doing the stupid castle.
Did you notice that you can collect, I think it's 8 or maybe 10 of the bonus coins to get some sort of trophy?
No. Yeah. You don't even have to gather the bonus coins in the normal way. You can just click on them.
Yeah, I didn't realize that at first. I let like two of them go by without figuring that out.
No, I'm not going to do that.
I'm tempted to. I want to try it once to see if I can do it.
Are there like game center achievements for that game?
Yeah.
I just do not give a fuck about game center.
Yeah.
Like I don't think that anything having to do with game center has ever altered the way that I've played anything.
I was watching your progress through the game with it, which was kind of neat.
You were?
Yeah.
If it was easier to build like a list of Game Center contacts, it would be much more interesting. Like if I could see, if I could look at each of my friends in Game Center and see who their friends are, and mm-hmm. send those like you can do in Steam,
right?
Then that would make it a lot more interesting.
Well, I've never done that in Steam. All of my Steam friends are the result of just somebody saying, "Hey, will you be my Steam friend?" And then me saying, "No."
I don't like the constant notification about what your friends are doing in Steam. To be honest, I don't know.
I often, if I find that bothering me, I just exit out of Steam.
Yeah,
I have like three people on my friends list in Game Center, and when I click the thing that says, "Hey, suggest some people that I might be friends with," it gives me this list of people who are total strangers to me and have one or zero games in common.
Huh.
It's like, what the fuck is the point
those
of
are technically people that might be your friends. Right? I mean, what you should have said was, show me people who are probably my friends.
Yeah. That would be nice if that was the option.
Computers do exactly what... Gigo, they say. Garbage in, garbage out.
I also played some 10 Million.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's very tense. It's kind of stressful.
Yeah, I sort of explicitly do not like that game because it is tense and stressful.
Tell me about it. I don't know anything about it.
We talked about it on a previous show. It's like a match 3 where you slide a row, but
it's
then
like,
you got to match
like,
keys to doors and
it's
swords
like dungeon
to,
raid,
swords
except
to
with permanent
like a,
character
with like
progression.
A really, really vicious timer.
Yeah, timer is kind of mean.
And it's, yeah, I mean, it just seems, I don't really understand how to get good at playing that game fast enough that it would be meaningful to be good at it. And so it's just, I still pull it out and play it, and I like going through and upgrading stuff and, you know, making swords do more damage and stuff. That's like a thing that's always exciting to me. You know, there's some skeletons sometimes that you can kill.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I know I have this inventory, but if I look up to see what items I have in my inventory, I will lose too much time. Like, I feel like I would have a lot of fun with the game if the timer ran at 1/3 of the speed that it runs at. Hmm. But as it is now, it's just like...
Play it on an older iPhone.
Yeah. Man, my phone is getting less and less reliable.
Really?
As time goes by. I seriously think that there's just a conspiracy.
Unreliable.
It's just doing, like, apps are crashing all the time, and, like, the browser asks me, whereas it used to ask me for my HT access credentials on the stuff that requires that once every 2 or 3 months, it is now doing it multiple times a day, even without the browser crashing. Like, it's getting goofy.
Have you, like, fully shut it down and rebooted it recently?
Yeah. I actually just smashed it with a hammer and reconstructed it. Just part of it. That was the first thing I did.
Okay.
That was when it started acting weird.
Wait a minute. What you've got there is a Pop-Tart.
Oh man. You know what else? I've been playing is I got a don't tell the feds about this. I'm sorry. Don't tell the Neo Geo programmers that are held hostage with their ankles broken in my my cabin. Yes. It's a sequel to Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. It got real specific. I bought a 161-in-1 Neo Geo cartridge for my Neo Geo machine.
Nice.
And then I thought that it was just all fucked up and shitty and broken, but it turned out that what was all fucked up and shitty and broken was just the green button on the Player One controls.
Oh.
And so every once in a while, and I had noticed this trying to play Metal Slug, which I legitimately own, which came in the cabinet. I'm like, why am I out of grenades? And then I started a new game, and the guy was just like, grenade, 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 grenade. I'm like, oh, that would explain why I'm out of grenades. So that button lost its spring, and so just vibrating the cabinet would cause it to press kind of sporadically. And that would cause the 161 in one games menu to just go into whatever game was highlighted a lot of the time when you would hit the thing to move the highlight.
Okay.
And so all I could play is one of, this is a thing that's a little bit irritating about this 161 in one games cartridge, is that over 50 of the games are different versions of King of Fighters. So, and man, did they make a lot of just one-off and off-brand fighting games for the Neo Geo.
Yeah.
It is nuts. There's so many of the games on there. What I want is a list of them, that which of these are not fighting games, so that I might be interested in playing them. But yeah, anyway, I bought a new button. It cost $1.95, and they shipped it to me. And it took like 2 minutes to replace and didn't require any tools.
Awesome.
Yeah, that made me feel like a real arcade cabinet owner, except most of the stuff that you have to do with an arcade cabinet is shit that I'm never going to do, because it involves like soldering shit to some other shit and taking lethal capacitors out of monitors and replacing them with newer, shinier lethal capacitors, slightly more lethal capacitors. Yeah, I replaced a button in that, and then I played a weird game called Captain Tomaday, Tomaday, okay. Where it's a top-down, up-scrolling shooter where you are a tomato with these disembodied hands to either side of you, and the two buttons are to punch out with your left hand or to punch out with your right hand. And you're flying around just punching birds and stuff. And then sometimes you'll take a pill and it will turn you into a larger or smaller tomato or a baby. And the baby will have some different attacks. And then you can also turn into this weird, like, sort of frog thing that replaces your two disembodied fists with, like, a tongue that sticks out. I think that one of these days you guys should come over and we should play through Captain Tomaday.
I think that's true.
Two-player.
Yeah. This sounds so Japanese, I don't even know where to go.
Yeah. And then, there's also this game that I forgot about that I think they had at a convenience store when I was growing up in one of the Neo Geo cabinets that I had access to, which was called Ninja Commando, which is, it's like a bullet hell game, except you are a ninja running along the ground. It still scrolls by itself. You know, and you're just, you know, you're moving around and there's obstacles and stuff. Super weird perspective. Like, it's top down, but a lot of the stuff is just kind of front view, and there's a weird perspective. And there's three different ninjas, and they have three different, I don't know, giant patterns of throwing stars that they fire at high velocity and frequency, rate of fire, I guess. Power-ups. A lot of power-ups. A lot of games with a lot of power-ups on this 161 in one. There are at least 161 power-ups, because of the 30 games that are not King of Fighters, each of them has at least 6 power-ups.
Okay.
There are a lot of good games in there, and then there are a lot of real weird games, and then a lot of real terrible games.
Hmm.
But, yeah. You been playing any WoW?
Played some WoW. I got on after the patch. The recent patch came out to
shit got real.
See what they did to my combat rotation and things like that.
They didn't do shit to my rotation. Nope. They turned all my talents into passive skills that I guess you would have gotten at some point when you were leveling. Hmm. I kind of want to just level my character up again from zero to tell what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, I don't know if it would.
No, I don't think that would be
really
fun at all.
Yeah, yeah, they changed. They changed my combat such that instead of only having to look at the upper left corner of the screen to watch the boss's stats and the lower left corner of the screen to click on the buttons I need, I now also have to look at the upper right corner of the screen to watch my self buffs that I'm applying. So that my monitor is too large for that to be wieldy. So I had to get an add-on to condense all that information into one corner of the screen.
I thought you were about to say a smaller
system
monitor.
Of like Terry Gilliam style, like magnifying glasses in front of you. Yeah, magnifying glasses and mirrors in front of your monitor,
good.
So that it's all just going directly into one of your eyes while you use the other one to give everyone cancer.
But yeah, that's pretty cool, and it consolidated all of my pets and achievements onto the one character, which is nice.
That is kind of nice.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's pets and achievements and mounts yeah. are now account wide.
Oh, whoa. Man. You know, the couple days ago, in preparation for Mists of Pandaria, because for, you know, for however many levels it is until the cap or whatever, you're not going to be able to fly in the new continent as is what happens. So I decided to have back on my previous character when I was playing before I burned out. I ran what's the one that starts with an S that isn't Skolomance? Where all the undeads are.
Skolomance?
No, the other one.
Stratholme.
Stratholme.
Skolomance.
Ran Stratholme like dozens and dozens and dozens of times trying to get the Baron's skeletal warhorse mount.
And were you doing it by yourself?
Yeah, just soloing it, solo runs. And never got it. Did we just lose Kevin?
Nope.
I heard it go beep.
No, we didn't. I'm having another call come in from a fucking robo-politician.
Never got
vote
it.
Vote for me.
And
free oil in every house.
A couple nights ago, just for the hell of it, for nostalgia, I went back and did one more run through there, and the mount dropped.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, like 1 in 100 shot of that happening. Yeah, so that was pretty great.
Was it, how long did it take for you to run that once?
Oh, like 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I finally, because I, on my Alliance character back in the day, I tagged along with you guys on one of those kill every faction boss. So now, on my Horde character, I have the mount that you get for killing all of the Horde side leaders.
Sad.
Yeah. I felt really bad. I seriously did.
That's weird. It gave you the Alliance
I don't know.
Version of that?
I just assumed that it did.
Maybe it's the same mount.
It could
mount
be the same
both
mount for both sides. Yeah, I don't know. It's a big black bear. Yeah, so they did away with the talent trees completely.
Yep.
Whoa, completely?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like every 15
yeah.
levels, you get the choice of one of three skills now. And there is an inscription consumable that will allow you to erase one of those choices and redo it on the fly, or you can do it at a trainer for free. So it's like not even you still choose a spec.
Yeah.
Right. You say whether you want to be like, and you can still dual spec, I guess, or maybe you can just switch between specs at will.
I don't know.
I didn't actually look into anything other than feral druids. Yeah. For a while, I was trying to heal, so I did a resto dual spec on my shaman, but I was fucking terrible at it. What are the other big changes? You don't have to go to trainers to get your skills anymore.
Right.
Which
what did the trainers
me.
For then?
Respecking your talents and telling you where the other trainers are. That, I don't know. I honestly do not know what
sell
they're for.
You some reagents,
so
maybe
once every 15 levels, you get to pick one of three skills. Are the three skills just the three different talent trees, basically?
No.
Nope. They're useful no matter which tree you're in.
Yep.
So then, what is the picking the build? What is the picking the orientation, whatever you
when
call
you
it
with the spec when you pick a specialization, it gives you, and it's been like this since Cataclysm, it gives you a bunch of the core abilities. Like it no longer buried like a lot of the sort of iconic, you know, what is it, like Mortal Strike or whatever was a thing that warriors got in a certain spec, and there were things that they considered sort of spec defining verbs, and they just give those to you when you choose the spec.
Okay.
So like you, at level 10 with a shaman, you say, I want to be elemental. And it was like, all right, well, your lightning bolts now can go four times as far and do four times as much damage. And here's a couple of other skills that were buried in the elemental talent tree. I don't remember what they actually were. Yep. But if you didn't go that, then you just, you know, you're playing a slightly different character.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I was reading Tobold's MMORPG blog the other day, and he posted a thing that where he said basically the same thing that I said about why modern day WoW clone MMOs keep losing all of their players after the first month. And, you know, I was like, well, because you can level to the cap in a month. And so you buy it, you level to the cap, you realize that there's not much to do at the end game in a game that has only been out for 1 month, and then you're done. Whereas with WoW, it took so long that there was still, you know, shit to do.
Right.
And it's weird. I mean, I don't like really the idea of you not having to go back and talk to your trainers to get new skills. But then do I like the idea of forcing you to make 90 trips back to town?
Yeah.
Like, I guess I don't really.
I do.
And thinking back to when I played, like, I was going back to town multiple times in a level because you'd have to go sell random garbage and you'd have to, you know, go log off because you'd play for days at the same level.
Yep.
And stuff.
I'm not saying that it's not good now because I haven't played and I have no firsthand experience, but I really liked the way the game was, you know, 3 years ago when I was still playing or 4 years ago when I was still playing.
It's been interesting to contrast with Guild Wars 2, which I played quite a bit of over the last few days. And there, the fast travel system in Guild War 2 is so comprehensive that I do not feel like I have any sense of the world of Guild Wars 2 as a world. In the way that I do with World of Warcraft, at least prior to Cataclysm. And I guess that's a thing that nobody cares about. But it's a thing that I always thought was pretty cool about WoW, but the reason that it felt like that to us is because we had to spend so much time getting from place to place in it. You know, and running a dungeon was like a really big fucking deal because you had to not only be talking to people and arrange a party that could run the thing, but then you all had to go there at the same time. And walk in the door together.
And you had to wait 15 minutes while people gathered up all the quests that applied to that dungeon.
Yeah, that were all over the fucking world. Yeah. And, I'm not saying that there aren't things about the modern way of doing it that are better. I have seen every dungeon that has come out since Burning Crusade. But I don't know where any of them are. Like, I don't have any sense of where they fit into the geometry of the world. Because I did not have to go to them, and you would end up with that thing where the first time you run a dungeon through Dungeon Finder,
and you die.
You get killed, and you're outside at a fucking graveyard, and you have to ask dudes, how do I get into this dungeon that we were just in?
There is now on WoWhead, if you look in the comment section for any dungeon, somebody will have put a post that links to a YouTube video.
Just a YouTube video of somebody flying from the graveyard to the entrance.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I'm sure they're not happy with that. It's a consequence of the way that it panned out. But
yeah,
I don't know, man. I think it needs to be streamlined to be fun.
They could force you to walk someplace once before you're allowed to fast travel there, right? Like through the
group. I mean, it used to be you had to go find all of those flight points individually.
Yeah. Oh, do you not even have to find the
once
I
there,
think you still have to unlock you still have to unlock
that you have to unlock points, but not very many of them for the most part. The whole you got the whole world.
Yeah, because they put in like a million new flight paths after, even before Cataclysm. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I get that people aren't willing to tolerate just running. And that was the thing. Like when Josh would see somebody playing World of Warcraft, he did not understand what the appeal of the game was because he said all it is just fucking running. And occasionally you have to kill a pig. Like, why are people playing this? And while I can see that point of view, I just, you know, I don't know. Maybe this is just like, this is what getting old is like. You start to think, well, you know, there was nothing wrong with what we did.
You know,
uphill both ways in the snow, but
I think it's okay to have stretches of time where you're not doing something, right? Like it gives you a time, it gives you a chance to sort of relax and like sitting on a flight path, you know, you can check your email or you can
you can
talk and
you can tab out and read Reddit.
You know, you can do all kinds of
things. You can boot up your Bejeweled add-on.
Yeah. Did you pre-order Miss Pandaria, Zach?
I did.
Yep. I got the... Did you get the digital collector's edition?
No. I think I'm going to buy a real collector's edition because I have... Not because I really care that much, but I have... Collector's editions
of
every. I have all of them, and I want this next one.
If I hadn't missed Cataclysm collectors, I would.
Did you have an original?
No, I don't think I did have an original.
Yeah, I actually bought it at a store. That was the only one that I ever. I was there on launch day because I had already quit my job to work on KOL at that point. So like at 9 a.m, I was like, all right, I'm gonna go to Best Buy and buy a collector's edition World of Warcraft because it's gonna be fucking sweet. I totally played an undead warlock up to like level 15 in the open beta.
Nice.
Yeah, what's up, Brill? I don't even recognize Brill anymore. You go and it's all these punk teenage undead, big cauldrons of bubbling poison.
And their hoodies.
I was like, man, we hid that shit. When I was a level 15 warlock, we weren't just like, hey, check us out. Here's our big vat of poison that we're going to use to kill everyone in the whole world. What's up? We're not even bothering to like put some, like a layer of that army leaf mesh camouflage on it.
Yep, yep. Back in the days when there was a lock at Lock Modan.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When there were elites wandering around that would just kill you because you got killed every once in a while. Yep. That is a thing in Guild Wars 2 that I'm not sure I actually enjoy much. Is spending...
Are you running into the Guild Wars version of Son of Arugal?
No. What I'm running into is... an inability to survive two mobs at my level. I can kill one mob without taking any damage, but if I accidentally aggro a second mob, which you're encouraged to, by the way, the combat system encourages you to move around a lot while you're doing it. It's kind of the same problem the Secret World has. And then getting killed in Guild Wars 2 puts you into this fucking crazy-ass bullshit that's like, oh man, struggle to stay alive, and in every single case, I'm just like, nope. I do not want to, because what happens if I manage to come back to life from this like quasi-dead state is it pops me back to life with a tenth of my hit points, and then I immediately get one hit again by another monster. So no thanks. I would just like to teleport back to a fucking waypoint.
Yeah.
But there's no suicide button. Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess that system might be fun for somebody, but not for me. It's just like, oh, here's this thing that's like being dead in that you can't fucking accomplish anything, except it's not like being dead because it doesn't just happen once and then it's over and you run back to where you were and start over. No, it's just like, oh, you're dead. Hey, just kidding, you're back. Oh, you're dead again. Whoa, just kidding, you're back. Hey, good job. Getting killed again. Hey, good job. Bringing yourself back to life. Yeah, it's kind of like one of those, yeah, you know, I remember when you would just play a video game and then when a thing hit you, once it would knock your armor off, and when it hit you again, it would knock your skin and your underwear off. and then you would put in another quarter. In my day. I think that's all that I've been playing.
I also played a little bit of the 3DS game Tales from the Abyss, which I bought because I thought it was the remake of the old Game Boy game, Final Fantasy Adventure. That turned out to be incorrect. That was actually Sword of Mana was the remake of that for the Game Boy Advance. So I also bought that. And I bought the two of those.
Sword of Mana wasn't a remake of Final Fantasy Adventure, was it? I thought it was like a Game Boy Advance sequel.
Whatever,
to Secret of Mana.
Whatever.
Secret of Evermore.
No, okay. Whatever the Japanese is for the title Sword of Mana, that was the original, and then it was brought over here as Final Fantasy Adventure, and then there is another Sword of Mana that is the remake of that.
Okay. What about the Game Boy game Sword of Hope?
That one I'm not
like
familiar with.
Shadowrun-style romp through a green forest. really, and then some green dungeons, and a green castle, and some green mountains, because everything on the Game Boy was green. Mm. Anyway.
I don't really have anything much to say about them yet. Sword of Mana is basically the same as Final Fantasy Adventure, except the graphics are all updated, and it threw in some mechanics from the other X of Mana games in the series, and I haven't gotten very far in it. And Tales of the Abyss is also basically a JRPG, except the fighting, instead of being menus, is more like a side-scrolling beat-em-up. But both of them are pretty generic fantasy with really ham-fisted exposition, and I really only bring them up because the new rule of assuming if a character only says dot 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 that they are in fact farting has made both of these games hilarious.
Good rule.
Yep.
You got anything else, Kevin?
Nope.
Well, then there we go. Kevin, what's new?
Well, I don't really have much interesting news this week. There's a bunch of stuff about games that are being ported or coming out. The only thing that was like news-y was, do you remember how we talked about that Peter Molyneux 22 Can Studios game Curiosity? The one that's going to be the block that you get to pick at, and then only one person gets to see what's inside. Apparently, he's not calling it Curiosity because NASA named their rover Curiosity. So,
and he's afraid they're going to sue him with lasers.
I don't know. I don't know what the problem is.
I think they did not threaten him or anything, but I think they asked him politely not to name it that.
Huh.
And he was like, okay. That's how it sounded when I heard about it.
Yeah. I heard that the Phoenix Wright people actually asked Will Wright if he would change his name.
So it is both delayed because it was supposed to come out in August, and it's going to not come out until September, and it's going to be renamed to something that they have not yet disclosed.
No, I was under the impression that that was already out and just something that I didn't care about, as opposed to a forthcoming title that I don't care about.
No, it's the first game that Molyneux's new studio is going to release, and it is not yet out. So they're doing iOS ports of several different games, including Bastion and the whole Phoenix Wright series.
Yeah, Bastion will be out on iPad 2 and 3 tonight. Actually.
Yeah.
How well do you reckon the sort of Twitch gameplay of that is going to translate?
I don't know.
I'm interested to find out, because if it's just a virtual D-pad, I feel like that would be terrible.
Really, it's just it's the HTML5 version of Bastion played in Safari on the iPad.
Binding of Isaac is going to get a remake for consoles.
Oh, yeah.
And also, like, a standalone PC game, I think.
I think that's coming out for iOS as well.
It might be.
The remake of
that.
I don't know if I don't know how excited I am about the idea of starting over.
It's going to be a bunch of additional content that's going to be console only, it sounds like.
Well, it's not console only. I mean, it all of the stuff that's happening for the console, I mean, it's being developed on a PC, right?
Oh, okay.
And so there is a new non-Flash PC remake in the works.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's confirmed by him.
What was depressing to me about this thing was that basically they'd hit the limitations of Flash, where the game was so large that they couldn't compile it anymore.
And you're worried that that's a thing that we're going to run into.
Yeah. I started to freak out about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I
definitely feel like if we can avoid doing the MMO and Flash.
Oh, we're not.
Well, no, we don't need to. Well, we're definitely. The primary front end of the MMO is probably going to be in Flash.
Yeah, but it's that's just a client. That's not the game.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, but it's not going to be like a single big Flash thing with all of the assets in it. And I think that we could probably package Word Realm such that the music, which is the overwhelming majority of the space that the thing takes up right now, is external and gets pulled in.
Sure.
You know, we haven't really messed with anything other than playing it in a browser at this point in testing. Yeah, that's what's new with us.
And then so speaking of Ed McMillan and his games, on August 31st. I think the impression I got was this is a one-day-only deal. You can get his basement collection, which is like all his old games, for like $4 on Steam. Hmm. So I highly recommend that.
It's the cheapest you will ever be able to get, cunt.
Yes. And then also on the 31st, Torchlight 2 is coming out. And then Secret World issue number 2 has been pushed back to be released on September 11th. So
yeah, pushed back as a result of them having laid off half of their staff because apparently they sold a little over 200,000 copies of that game, and that's it.
That sucks.
We'll be at Dragon Asshole Con. Somebody will have to remind me to get on Steam on my phone and buy that if it's only going to be available the one day.
Yep, I've already put an item in my calendar. So.
Oh, man, speaking of conspiracy theories, the day that the Secret World issue number 2 comes out is the day that we have the follow-up appointment with the pest control people at our office. Do you think that they're actually going to be planting bugs while they kill bugs?
I'm interested that that was where you went with the conspiracy theory idea and not the fact that it's September 11th.
Oh. No, I thought the important thing about this is how does it affect us? Well, sweet news, bros.
Yep.
So this assignment. Warp. For Windows/Xbox/PS3 indie game about aliens and labs.
Yep.
I'll tell you what. I did not get around to playing it until this morning. And then I was angry that I had to remember the password to my Origin account.
Yep.
This wasn't like at Comic-Con where I was just like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'm not going to figure out how to log into my goddamn Origin account to sign up for this beta. And he was like, oh, I'm sad. And I'm not going to listen to any of the questions that you ask and just answer different questions until you wander off. What did you think of this game?
I thought it was cute, and I liked the characters. I liked the main mechanic. I liked splatting a guard. The two things that caused the game to fall down for me was first the view being kind of too zoomed in and too much at an angle to be able to easily tell where you're going or have any concept of where you should be going, and which made it too easy to
camera movements.
Totally, I guess I did not discover that.
Okay,
but I mean it. It was like, I could go this way or I can go this way, and it turns out that going this way, I've locked off some rooms that I guess I can't get back to, and I don't know, I just found it confusing. The thing that really frustrated me badly and caused me eventually to quit was the fact that your character is extremely fragile and there is a long loading screen every time you die.
Yep. That is, the note that I wrote down is I gave up fairly early, because I fucked around and didn't start playing this until this morning, and I had a ton of work to do today. So I got to that point where the guy who throws the doors at
that
you starts
was
chasing
the same
you.
Point.
That
yep.
is exactly where I quit.
Three,
because
three seconds like of gameplay, 3 seconds and of a gameplay, 6 second then, loading
yeah,
screen.
Yeah, and often it wasn't even 3 seconds of gameplay, because it didn't do a very good job of telling you when you were back in control of the character. Huh. And so having to do these like split second twitch things followed by not super long loading times, but
long enough
long
that it
yeah long enough that it like non-zero
yeah.
non-zero loading times make one shot twitch gameplay like that unacceptable.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand how It's a problem because they have to reload all the props and put the guards back that you've killed and all of that, but you've got to find a solution to that because
the game doesn't
just,
the
I
game does not
unplayable.
Look so good that it needs that sort of load time on modern hardware. I don't think fuck do I know? I don't make games like this, but it really doesn't seem like you couldn't keep all of the assets for an entire level of that game in memory at once, and then just reconfigure them.
Or if you can't, just put twice as many checkpoints, so that's half as much stuff you need to keep in memory.
Even the checkpoints, anyway. What do you think, Kevin?
I don't. Well, so I definitely wasn't excited about the load times, but they didn't they didn't take me out of the game as much as it sounds like it did for you guys. Something that was consistently aggravating for me was finally beating some ridiculously hard challenge and then accidentally walking off an edge and dying and having to do it again because it doesn't save after that. You have to go find another fucking checkpoint. Yeah. So like by the late game, I found myself, if I made any progress at all, I would like backtrack, find a checkpoint, because you can't just go back to the same checkpoint because it becomes unpowered or whatever. Go backtrack, find another checkpoint, and then go back to where I was before, having the world state in a slightly more favorable configuration. Because sometimes I'd spend 5 or 10 minutes setting up some complicated solution to some puzzle that they'd given me, and a stupid mistake or some engine error would cause me to die, and then I'd have to do it all over again. And it was just like that was a serious frustration. I the option to quick save would have made me much, much happier. I liked the gameplay overall. Controls.
I thought it was a cool idea, a cool mechanic, and I liked the story.
Yeah.
I don't think that I've ever felt this way before about any video game. But I was pretty uncomfortable with the violence and gore.
I was surprised by it, certainly.
Having people begging for their lives was really off-putting to me. And I was thinking a lot about what it seems like this game is doing is it's trying to juxtapose cute stuff with really gory, grisly stuff, but because it seems like the overall sort of atmosphere of the game, the overall mood of the game is pretty lighthearted, that the just fucking exploding dudes and spraying other dudes with their blood seemed really, really out of place, especially when the other dudes were just screaming and begging you not to kill them. And it was really bothering me, and I don't know why.
Why were you killing this dudes?
Some of them you can't. So then, is it possible to finish levels without killing dudes?
You can finish the whole game without killing anybody. There's different endings based on how many people you kill.
Oh, huh.
Well, that I did not know.
Yeah.
So now I feel like I was just being fucked with. Because, I guess the game never tells you to kill anybody, except in the challenge mode that's, hey, kill all these dudes.
There's different audio, too. Something happened because I was trying to play the game without killing anybody. And so I played through the entire game without intentionally killing anybody. And for the first third or so of the game, I was being reminded that I had killed zero people. By audio cues, even though he hasn't killed anybody, he's still probably dangerous, kind of stuff. And then at some point that just stopped, and I don't know what happened. So I think
because you were in a fugue state and you killed somebody and you don't remember it.
I think it's possible that it counts killing dudes in the simulations in the challenge room.
In the kill all these dudes challenge room.
I think it does.
Well. Okay, so that's slightly more interesting. If the reason that it was trying to make the violence distasteful is to demonstrate that the violence was unnecessary, then that's a thing. But,
they maybe could have lampshaded that a little more.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Now I suddenly have an extra layer of respect for it that I didn't have. Because I was under the impression that there was no way through it without killing dudes. Because you're so fucking squishy and I am certainly not interested in trying to play through the game without killing any dudes because fuck that. Fuck having to try 100 times to sneak through some bullshit.
It gets easier, especially once you've collected enough grubs to upgrade your stealth stuff. I felt like that was what made the game more interesting, was trying to actually play it as a real stealth type game. And there's a lot of, the game gives you a lot of verbs to do things. You can jump into somebody and shake them around for a little bit, and then that knocks them out for a little while. You can, so you guys didn't even get through, get the, all of the powers that you get a bunch of additional things that you can do.
Like what, how do they work?
So, you know, the first thing is just the basic ability to teleport and in both through space and into objects. Right. And then there's the, ability to swap, swap with an object. No, sorry. I guess before that comes the ability to make an echo of yourself that can go out and you can see things. It can walk through walls. And it basically, you can use it to distract guards or, drones and stuff like that. And if you are inside an object, you get an echo of that object, which, if you're inside a crate, it's just like a crate moving around. If you're inside a person or a corpse, it becomes a person walking around, which doesn't attract the attention of guards or robots, which is kind of interesting. And then you get the ability to swap with an object. If your echo is on top of an object, you can swap places with it, which becomes really important, which allows you to get like jump through thicker walls and stuff like that than you could before. And then the last thing that you get is the ability to launch objects. So if you are inhabiting an object, you pick a direction and you hit Z on the keyboard if you're playing on a computer, and it fires the object off in that direction. And so you can use that to like knock people down, or you can inhabit them and throw them around the room and stuff like that, which won't kill them unless you put them inside a, you know, inside a bomb or something. So, I mean, it's you get a lot of different ways to interact with the world, and like a lot of the early places, a lot of the early levels, you can't get to every place. I think I probably did two or three circuits around the whole map, trying to get all the different secrets and stuff. I missed a couple, but I wasn't gonna like hunt them down obsessively. And then the last level of the game is really like, it's more of the same, but then they change the physics of the world a little bit. So where you're inside a submarine that's rocking back and forth. So you don't have any of the precision that you had up to that point. Like the whole world is like is sliding left, and then it's sliding right, sliding left, and that kind of thing.
I would not describe myself at any rate as having an abundance of precision at any point.
Sure, sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, reliability. Like it was interesting. It was, you know, it's like that last level of Trine where all of a sudden you now have a timer that you have to beat to get to the top of this thing or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of people complained about that.
Yeah, and like this is kind of the same thing. It's like now you have to use all the skills and abilities that you've gotten, but you have to use them in this really unpleasant environment where nothing you're doing stays still, which makes it that much harder.
And I feel guilty about killing all those dudes now that I know that I didn't have to.
You should go back and play it without killing the dudes.
I don't know if I feel that guilty.
The levels were pretty cool in that they were kind of nonlinear. There's actually quite a few branches that like connect in different places. And if you're paying attention, you can bypass huge swaths of various levels. You can like come at stuff from the back side of things. And if you're really clever about it or really like quickly skilled, you can actually come at things from the opposite direction that you're like normally intended to do. I don't know. The controls felt kind of mushy, I think, is part of my problem.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What were you playing it on?
PS3.
I played it on
what
the
about
PC.
You, Kevin?
I played it in Windows.
Mm.
On Steam. So. The end boss was really hard. But yeah, I played through it. I got the middle ending because apparently I killed somebody, which was frustrating. But
that's, I wish that I had understood that I was being presented with that choice.
Yeah, I don't think they made it very clear. I only became aware of it because they were talking about they were making such a point of talking about how I hadn't killed anybody. And I was like, oh, clearly this is built into the game because they couldn't know, like, they wouldn't be saying that if I had killed people, so they must actually be tracking that. But if you kill people from the very beginning, then how are you going to know?
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm curious now. I kind of want to play the first 10 minutes that I played again and see if they ever said anything about
it. Yeah, I don't know. So
yeah, the idea of trying to play it without killing anybody just fills me with rage.
Yeah.
Though because of the number of times that I know I'm going to get fucking shot by dudes.
And yeah, you get shot a lot.
To start over.
You restart a lot. So
yeah, and like you know, if it's going to take me 50 tries to get through something, and each one of those things has a 1 month load time, then it's going to take a really long time. I mean, I don't know. I'm not like a scientist. I don't know exactly how long. It's 50 times one month, but I know it's a long time.
It was only 4 or 5 seconds of loading screen each time. I don't think it was even that much, probably, in a lot of cases.
It's too long.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't long, but it was long enough.
I got shit to do.
Took me out of it, and
check Reddit. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I definitely noticed it, but I guess it was not so bad that I didn't feel like I could deal with it. So.
Spoiled by N plus. I want my miserable failures to be rewindable instantly.
V.
You know, and that's the thing. I think if games like that hadn't come out and made us realize, oh, clearly this is how this kind of thing should be done, then I don't think we would complain about it, right? Because we would still be in that mentality where you die, there's some time delay while you have to wait for them to do the right thing or whatever. But like,
what if every game actually gives you the option to play through it without killing anybody? And
you just never
we're just
knew.
So inherently violent that we don't know about it.
Well, we make that joke in the writing of KOL, is that you're just beating people up. You're not usually killing them, right? Like,
well, until we started introducing things that peeled the organs out of the corpses, and I mean, there was like, and there was certainly like one of the early familiars feasts on the corpse. I mean, I guess it doesn't say the corpse of your enemy. It's just like, oh, you know, the corpse. It's like the barn. It's a thing you keep out back of your house.
Yeah.
Sure, I guess. Yeah, man. Now I suddenly feel guilty about every murder that I've ever committed in every video game.
And elsewhere.
Yeah. That one time I had that dream that I was playing a sweet game called Super Baby Killer 2K12, and then I woke up and I was like in an orphanage.
And your pillow was gone.
Yeah.
It wasn't Super Baby Killer Deucey Ot AC Deuce.
Yeah, Deuce Ot AC Deuce. No, this wasn't a game that we made. This was a game that John Madden made.
Oh, okay.
He has to feed on babies. That's why he's still alive.
Oh.
It's because he eats things.
So Zach, what is our next assignment?
I think we've decided we're not going to have a whole lot of time in between now and the next show on account of Dragon Asterisk Con, but we're going to play The Legend of Zelda, and we're going to do it as a 2-week assignment. So after we get back into town... safe in the warm arms of Phoenix, Arizona, for you. Same as always for us. We will play a couple days of it and do one show and then try and beat it before the following show and then talk about the rest of it.
Are we just going to do the
Legend
quest?
Of Zelda for the NES? The what? The second quest?
First quest? Second quest?
Yeah, let's do the first quest and then maybe the second quest if we feel like it. I'm not going to feel like it.
Yeah.
Might also try to do that Iron Man challenge where you don't get the sword.
Oh, man.
I think that would be terrible.
Yeah.
Because you...
Might do the one where you don't get the magic boomerang. That's like a Tin Man challenge.
When you don't get the sword, you can't kill anybody until you get the lamp or something?
Well, you can kill the occasional thing with the candle, right? That you can just buy for rupees. I don't know where you get the rupees.
Wow.
Cutting grass?
Yeah,
you can bomb...
Grass?
Cutting glass.
Grass.
There's no grass to cut in the original Legend of Zelda.
Oh, isn't there?
No.
Oh.
I guess you could use bombs, but again, I don't know how you would afford it. Maybe there's some ways to get money. Yeah, I don't know how you get dungeon doors open and stuff. How does that work? I know it's possible. You know what? You might have to go into, as your first act, you might have to go into level 6 and get the magic wand.
Huh.
And then use that to kill everybody.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, now I want to know. Now I want to look into it. Now that we've unearthed an article about how the item drops work and how it's impossible to actually manipulate that.
Well, I mean, you say it's impossible, but an emulator, you can...
Yeah, with an emulator that you could... An emulator with, like, a frame counter, I guess.
Yeah.
But also just knowing that if you... When you get hit, it makes your item drops worse. Like, that yep. you get bonuses for efficient farming. We ought to find that article and post it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Also, we ought to find that article about the localization that we read a couple weeks ago and post that somewhere, too. Maybe we'll post it on the internet, wherever it is. And then, hey, listeners, just go and find it. Cool. Legend of Zelda.
Whoop.
You guys want to do some listeners' mail?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let me find some listeners' mails. I don't remember where our listener mails go. Oh, they go in the Video Games Hot Dog forums at this point.
Indeed.
Florin says, to what extent do you think your job as game creators colors your opinion of other games? Do you find yourself noticing things a layman wouldn't? I mean, I certainly notice that I will play a game for 15 minutes and then just be like, fuck this, and walk away from it. Whereas a layman, I would not have been able to afford to do that.
I definitely have noticed, like, in trying to become a better writer and reading articles about how to do things like exposition without it coming off clumsy and ham-fisted, I very much notice now when I'm playing a generic fantasy game that does that really poorly.
You know, like when you, that one chapter that's like, when a character encounters a door that is locked, they must say aloud, the door, it's locked. And then jiggle the handle a few times.
Yeah.
You know, like we've been doing this for so long that it's really sort of hard to separate. Like, I have no idea if I hadn't been making video games for a living how compelled I would be to think critically about video games at this point in my life. I mean, maybe I would have 30 kids.
I think a lot of people do. I mean, I think a lot of people, even people who don't make games, think about them critically. And so I don't know that making games gives you any special insight into being critical about them. It's not like you have to be an author to be a critic of books.
I'm just saying that I don't know to what extent the way that I feel about video games would have been there irrespective of my job. Right? I'm not saying that one caused the other. I'm just saying that they're inseparable in my mind because there's only one me.
Yeah. I mean, I think I definitely,
as far as I know,
much more aware of how a lot of systems in video games work. And so I will see stuff that I see, okay, well, this probably fell out of just like a particular programming choice, or like it's a lot easier to keep track of world states in this way, so it makes sense that things would be like this, right? Like, you can suss out a lot of details of like how the game works because you're aware of like how games are made. But I think that almost gets in the way of playing it because you bring with you a bunch of information that like an average person wouldn't necessarily have, and so you can't really get a sense of what the game is going to be like to somebody who doesn't bring all that with them, you know.
I do think that in certain cases it makes me more willing to tolerate some things if I can kind of imagine the conversation that happened that resulted in this thing going in there. Right. Because, you know, like we said, when you get killed in a dungeon that you've never been to the entrance to, you don't know where the entrance is. And I don't think that they didn't design it that way. Right. So criticizing the design of that seems like a dick move, right? Mm-hmm. This is a thing that fell out of a bunch of choices that they made over a really long period of time, each of which was the the best of some number of bad choices that they could have made.
Right.
And so certain things will just fall out of that, and it's not... You know, I think working on games for so long has kind of clued me in on how little of what's going on in games is on purpose, I guess, and how much of, like, things being good is just, well, you kind of got lucky and things worked well together, and, like, you know, you, with a good eye for quality and with an unwillingness to, like, release things before they're done or whatever, you can minimize the extent to which, like, dumb shit creeps in, but they're extremely complicated systems with a lot of weird things that fall out of them.
Right.
And a lot of the things that you notice, either for better or for worse, are things that are just as much a surprise to the people who made this thing, or at least who made the initial decisions about how this thing was going to be, as they are to you.
Yeah.
Dinan says, have you guys ever considered doing live streams or let's play videos of some of the games you play? You should also check out some of the great tower defense games that the Warcraft 3 custom maps had. Element TD, Skeeby TD, Winter Mall Wars, etc. Yeah, I never really played any Warcraft 3 custom maps.
I feel like I've played a couple. The Element TD sounds familiar. I played this really awesome one that was like about a spider boss. That like
Schneider boss,
like all these spiders that had taken over this huge section of the map, and it was really cool. I remember that being really kind of impressed by the level design.
Yeah, I don't know about live streams or let's plays. If we wanted to do live streams, we could talk to our buddy the Gun Run at Twitch TV. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he would explain to us how to do the things that we should do. I don't know if that would be any fun to watch or not.
Yeah.
I've sometimes thought that maybe we should try to make a Let's Play video and see if we could, like, start spending a whole bunch of time doing some more shit that won't make us any money.
I feel like I would, I mean, without a heavy editing, I feel like my gameplay would be really infuriating to watch because I am constantly, running along all the walls to see if I can, like, jump through or... You know, like, I will spend half an hour being like, I wonder if I can get on top of that box.
Yeah, that was what Roy made fun of me when Roy thinks about me playing World of Warcraft. What he thinks that is me just trying to get on top of things so that I can be standing on them, like for no gain, for no reason other than like, oh, I didn't think I was going to be able to get on top of this thing, and I'm totally on top of it.
The greatest reward for that for me was when I figured out how to wall jump over into the unfinished Mount Hyjal, because like actually beginning to see this like whole sort of completely finished landscape of a zone that was under construction and not officially in the game because you knew how to like do this sneaky wall jumping stuff was so awesome that like that was enough of a reward to spend hours doing it other places and just trying to see stuff. You know, the creepy face that was hidden in the mountains in one of the zones. I forget where that was.
Did you ever get into old Ironforge?
No, either of you?
No, I didn't know how to do that. And I never didn't play Alliance enough to mess around with it.
I saw a video of it. Yeah, that was a thing. Yeah, I don't know. I think everybody would be infuriated watching me and Riff because we have this thing where we will walk into a room with like four things to investigate, and we will investigate the first one, and then the second one, and then the first one, and then the first one, and think, well, we're done, and then leave through the same exit we came in, thinking it's a different exit.
My problem with that is better or worse depending on the game. But
I mean, the best Let's Play videos are the ones by people who know the game really well, right? Like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
don't play a Let's Play
interesting
video.
Commentary on yeah.
You don't play a Let's Play game for the first time, right? And that I think that's the problem is we don't go.
Well,
I guess we are.
Well, but I think that would be. Playing, but so. I think that would be the most fun for people to watch.
It's just
us just being bad at
fumbling.
Being bad at things and swearing a lot. Oh, we could do a collaborative Let's Play of the floppy disk version of Star Control 2, where we just read all of the dialogue in funny voices.
What would it be like
Riff,
to play
you can be
a game
the siren.
Great, where, thanks.
Like, one of us plays for 20 minutes, and then the next person plays for 20 minutes, and the next person plays for 20 minutes, but we don't necessarily watch each other, so we don't. It's not like we know.
Oh, man. So it's like the exquisite corpse.
Yeah, or like a chain world.
Because, like, you'd get all these new abilities, and you wouldn't know what the fuck.
I think it would depend on the game. It might be fun to do a Minecraft like that. Like a hot chain world Minecraft where we just alternated between the three of us with presumably entirely different goals about what we wanted to accomplish and or set on fire. I don't even know if I would recognize Minecraft anymore. All the crazy upside down stairs and stairs made out of different things. And I don't know. I played a little bit more of that Mine Z.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and still just like wander around until some asshole kills you. Gleeb says, how many of the Binding of Isaac challenges have you beaten? I'm up to 6 out of 10. Also, they totally ripped off challenge paths from KOL. I have only beaten one of them, I think, because I haven't spent a lot of time trying. I have no interest whatsoever in playing that game with no map, and so I don't think I'm ever going to beat the Everything is Dark challenge, or the whatever it is. Born Without Eyes. The one where Isaac is one of those weird deep-sea blind fish. Have you played any of them, Riff?
Huh. I haven't been playing a lot of Binding of Isaac.
Yeah,
Zenosis says,
also have not played Binding of Isaac.
What do you guys, i.e. Zach, think of Guild Wars 2? Like, the Secret World is doing a lot of neat things that differ from typical WoW clones. Also, since membership is permanent after the box purchase, they're not pressured to do a lot of time-wasty bullshit to keep subscribers. Yeah, the fact that they weren't pressured to does not necessarily mean that they didn't. I've been trying to make some jewels, and that's pretty grindy. I mean, you know, you use a grinder to make a setting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much time I'm going to spend on Guild Wars 2. Like, there are some minor refinements of the formula, but I don't think that Guild Wars 2 is as much the second coming of Christ that a lot of people in that portion of the hype cycle, which lasted a really long time because Guild Wars 2 was so long in development, believe that it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, it is true that there are no quests, but there might as well be quests. And, you know, it's true that there's never a dude that tells you to kill 10 wasps, but there are definitely places where what you're supposed to do is kill 10 wasps.
So, I mean, if you kill 10 wasps, you are that much more in favor with the lady who is plagued by wasps.
Yeah, and there's always multiple things that you can do, but all of the things that you can do are just MMO bullshit, right? Like, there's nothing.
It's not a situation where you're in favor with the wasp lord until you start killing wasps, and so you're trading wasp lord favor for wasp lady favor.
That would be awesome. We need to design an MMO called Faction Battles 2, where it starts out, your character sheet is just like 500 bars at neutral that are the various people, and anything that you do
affects like
somebody,
20
and
or
some
30
of the, bars. So there's like, the Santa Claus Legion, which they see everything that you do, and also the Jesus Legion, and the Tooth Fairy is also one where you can't do anything without pissing off either Jesus or the Tooth Fairy. You never know. Yeah, and the way that you win is by maxing out all the factions, but it's impossible to max out all the factions. But yeah, everybody gets pissed off. There's nothing. This is like a real life simulator where there is nothing that you can do that won't piss at least somebody off. So, you know, even if you're just being nice to everybody, the terrorists still hate your freedom. Anytime you do something other than kill yourself, you lose faction with the terrorists. Yep. You guys, this game, this game is going to be amazing. We're gonna get all the press. All we have to do is post a screenshot that is just 500 faction reputation bars. Be like, bam, Kickstarter, $10 million. Let's do it. what are your favorite, says our chicken, video game weapon? What is your favorite video game weapon? It's easy for me to think of some first-person shooter weapon, but many other games have neat weapons like lightsabers and super sheep from Worms, the Hurley gloves from Mario RPG. Lately, the blaster bomb launcher from XCOM has been saving my butt, but I think the gravity gun from Half-Life might be my favorite.
I was going to say gravity gun.
I really disliked the sheep in Worms. I felt that was... I don't know why I didn't think that worms shooting each other with cannons was stupid, but I thought that an exploding sheep was stupid. Oh. I guess it's kind of like if the worms had pulled out a kumquat or a rubber chicken. I'm like, oh, look at how wacky we are. We have a kumquat. gosh, I wish I had read these questions ahead of time and thought about them.
Yeah. The 8-ball cannon in Unreal was cool.
I liked the rocket launcher from Fallout 3 was pretty good.
Yeah.
The one that just lets you kill all the dudes with coffee cups.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. You got a coffee cup? Take this. And you'd shoot a tin can at him. Well, pool balls. I put a lot of pool balls into that thing, too.
Cool. I like the portal gun because it's like not really a weapon, but you can still manage to fuck up a bunch of shit with it.
Yeah.
Is there, like, a good mind control gun in anything?
There is the Persuadatron in Syndicate, but it wasn't so much a weapon as an accessory.
There's the thing in Metagun where you shoot dudes that shoot at you. That was, like, one of Notch's Ludum Dare games. Were there any interesting weapons in Star Control, like on the ships? You know, the one that just like sucked dudes out of the other ships.
Right.
Was pretty cool. I kind of like it when you can launch a little autonomous fighter. I like a thing that moves in a circle around you.
Yeah.
As a weapon. A Gradius option. Yeah. The Gradius option is what they call that.
The Death Blossom from The Last Starfighter, which is totally not a video game.
Well, I mean, The Last Starfighter in the fiction of The Last Starfighter is a video game.
Sure, that's true.
That weapon that lets you tell mom about your Playboys. the weapon that grows a fake you that looks like a weird blob for a while.
Yep, the beta unit.
That's pretty useful. A sword... It's pretty good weapon.
Sword is always good.
Like the whip from Castlevania. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good weapon. Chrysogrim is pretty satisfying.
Yeah. That sword, Chrysogrim sword was just...
It's kind of broken. You're like, I don't need to worry about weapons anymore.
I mean,
it's kind of like the sword in Strider.
In exchange for farming it for an hour or two, your reward was cruising through the entire rest of the game.
The only time that I ever decided to sit down and farm Chrysogrim in a playthrough, I got it on like the third dude that I killed.
Awesome.
It was same thing when I was 100%ing Dawn of Sorrow or whatever, the one with the collecting the souls, where I was like, oh god, I gotta get ready to go fight this fucking iron golem over and over and over again by swinging this teddy bear at it because that's the fastest way to kill it. And then I dealt with it. I like beat the boss rush mode so I could get the fucking teddy bear so that I could have the right thing to kill this thing with. And then I went in and the first one that I killed dropped the 1% drop on the soul. The rough thing about MMOs is that the weapons that you get are so tied up in character progression that you're never really choosing a cool thing.
Yeah.
Skills are more exciting than weapons, I think, in MMOs. Sometimes they'll put something like a cool proc bonus on like an end game raid weapon.
Sure.
Like I've got an agility pole arm that procs like a giant size increase once in a while.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, the fire sword from Rastan It's just fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, to a 9-year-old me, it was like, fuck yeah, fire sword.
The fire sword in Fallout 3.
Ah, okay, yeah. That one's a little less 9-year-old me saying fuck yeah, and just like, yeah, thanks, vampire lord.
That Thunder Fury weapon in World of Warcraft was pretty cool.
What was it?
It was like a crazy huge sword that would occasionally like launch cyclones out at enemies that you're fighting.
Oh, like the 6-demon bag. That was one of my favorite World of Warcraft trinkets.
What else is good? The there was something from like a Nintendo game that I just thought of. I mean, it wasn't really a weapon, but the Bionic Commando arm in Bionic Commando is a pretty good mobility device. You could use it. You could knock a dude in a hole with it. So I guess that's a weapon. Anything you can knock a dude in a hole with is a weapon.
Yeah. There's that shrink ray in Duke Nukem 3D was cool.
I don't remember that.
You shrink a dude down real tiny and then step on him and squish him.
Mm, okay. And then Morgan Freeman would tell him he was going to shit down his pants.
What?
I got to post that, too. There's a fake video of Morgan Freeman reading some lines from Duke Nukem. It's pretty good. Pretty good YouTube video. Our Chicken says, what do you think of MMO role-playing servers? I barely play MMOs and always worried role-playing servers would be tiring, like everyone in chat trying to find excuses to tell you their cliche backstory. But I'm curious if anyone's tried it.
I have
because what it means is nothing in terms of the way that you talk to people, right? Because there's still like out-of-character chat. What it means is that they take the naming policy seriously, and so you're not running around with Poon Eater and... Yeah. I hate black dudes and Spick Nasty 420.
Yeah, yeah. And My Hunter.
Yeah. And lame.
What is wrong with a guy that can't think of a name for his hunter other than My Hunter?
Lame. I have to admit that the character Lame Cow Pun was pretty funny. I don't remember who that was. I think it was somebody in our guild just had a Tora named Lame Cow Pun. Yeah. And that that human female paladin called Holy Jugs, which, you know, that was kind of funny, so I didn't report it. But then the Blood Elf paladin named Holy Fuck. That's something that you don't get on role-playing servers.
Yeah.
My main guy is on a role-playing server for the Secret World, but, like, since it takes place in the real world, my day job is I'm a guy who makes video games. I'm like, check me out. I got a big hammer. That's not real hard to role-play. And it's also, like, you know, you pick a first name and a last name and then a nickname, and that's how your character is identified. And a lot of them are pretty stupid, like... Wizard, Wizard Master, Master will be their first nickname.
That's pretty great, actually.
Yeah. I mean, because that would be your nickname, right? Like, if your name is Wizard Master,
yeah,
then why wouldn't you just go by Wizard Master? Kodrick says, I used to test video games for a living, and now I found that when I play games, I intentionally play very nice with them because I want to experience the game as it was intended to be played instead of exploiting whatever thing I noticed. Do you guys notice that you play games with a conscious effort to exploit/not break the game? Is this a result of your design experience or just your natural gamer progression? I think that I, specifically unlike Kevin, will try to play a game the way that I feel like they are trying to present the experience to me, as opposed to the way that makes my numbers the biggest.
I think I'm somewhere in the middle. I like to poke around in the corners just to see how things work and, you know, find anything of extra interest. But if something seems to be egregiously broken, I won't exploit it.
Kevin is a dirty exploiter.
Yeah, I basically always just find all the loopholes I possibly can, and then...
That's the thing that you like the most about video games, is breaking them.
I wouldn't say that. Like, I definitely enjoy playing a game that is well-designed within its systems, but if like with, you know, Puzzle Craft or whatever, I like didn't like the system that they had designed, and so I just sort of within their framework, I made a game that did enjoy playing, you know, like.
Yeah, I think I just don't feel like that what you did was actually within the framework of their sort of authorial intent. Although maybe I'm attributing too much actual artistry to the design of this thing. But, you know, I think that they, you know, I don't think that Civilization is designed to take the shortest route to nuclear weapons and then nuke everybody, right? That's a way that you could play it, but I don't think that that's what anyone is expecting anyone to do.
Right.
And so your experience, if you do that, is something that you're sort of dealing, which, you know, I mean, that's one of the good things about video games, right? Is that your experience being a kind of a collaboration between you and the absent designer. But I kind of feel like I don't want to drag my feet and be a dick to the spirit of the absent designer who's the legacy of whose work I'm playing through, you know?
Right.
Whereas you specifically do want to be a dick.
I mean, I don't think of it as actively spitting in the eyes of the designer, though. It's like,
right, except when I built that PvP eye spitting game, and I was like, "Hey, come test this with me," and you figured out an exploit in it and spit in both my eyes at once, and I was like, "Look, don't do that. That's obviously something that I have to fix. Let's try again." And then you just did it again.
I did something else. Like, all right. Different.
All right, buddy. It's not funny anymore. Yeah. No, it's great fun. It's you're a super fun dude to test out any sort of PvP systems with. I want you to know that. That's one of my favorite things about you as a friend and a coworker.
Yep.
Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a listener's mail, how would they do that?
Well, they could tweet us at VGHotDog, they could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com, or they could website us at VideoGamesHotDog.com.
Follow that link on that VideoGamesHotDog.com to those forums.
Yep.
Yeah,
where there are people talking.
Eh.
People forums are where the questions.
And now you can actually make a forum account, which was a thing that you weren't able to do for a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, good. People are talking about new Super Mario Brothers 2. People are talking about Mass Effect 3. People are talking about Laser Mike. People are talking about boss fights.
I feel pretty good about the Video Games Hot Dog forums. They're lively.
I know we keep saying that, but we keep saying that because it's true.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to this episode, episode number 67 of Video Games Hot Dog. Again, come and see us at Dragon Con. If we are not, if you don't find us at the KOL panel on Friday, we will invariably be downstairs at the Hilton playing board games and yelling, "We're Zach and Riff and Kevin from Video Games Hot Dog! Ah! Anybody want to come say hi to us or be friends?"
Wow.
So you'll be able to tell.
You could come
just really
and play
follow that sound from anywhere.
An old version of the forthcoming KOL card game.
Or a secret surprise.
Dun,
or
dun, dun.
Battlestar Galactica. Or something.
Yeah. Or something.
Yeah. We should play the Battlestar Galactica board game.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, I'm going to be a Cylon. Whether the shit says I'm a Cylon or not, I am totally fucking killing you guys during this game. All right. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yeah.
My understanding is that it was a number of people that it took to make that game. And they...
So not Infinity or...
Like, no, it wasn't like Null or people. I. Yeah, there weren't I people.
N-A-N.
Yeah. All right, guys. There were also not blue people who worked there and...
Racist.
No one was sad.
I have to say that company definitely did not have employees.